You can continue that conversation straight after the service. We got hospitality going on, and we've got a few things in store for you today. And before we start, I just want to take this moment to pray for people. I want to just take a moment to pray for people. So you know, last week we started that thing about having prayer requests, because I don't know if any of you know that we have a team that diligently prays every week for you, and they put that on the on the Facebook. But some of you may not have that, and so we have strategized that for people who are not here, we're able to fill out a card, it's at the Connect desk, and you'll be able to write down your prayer needs and prayer requests, and we'll be able to pray that on the service Sunday. It just gives a tangible moment where we can actually just pray for the needs of people. It's a touch point, yeah. So that you know that whatever you put in, that we will pray for that diligently. Is that good?
Yeah.
So today we're going to pray right now for some needs, and I want that needs to be put on the screen right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, you said in your word that we can approach you boldly, to come boldly in a throne of grace. And so, Lord God, we just approach you right now, and we ask for these prayers, Lord God, that people have put in. Father God, there are real needs. There are real needs that people are suffering right now. And Lord God, I pray, Father, for healing for cancer. Lord God, for every type of cancer, Lord God, we speak the name of Jesus in that, for every cell that's trying to work its way, Lord, I pray for that cancer to diminish, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for strength in a work situation. We thank you, God, that you are our provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. And Lord God, we trust in you for every provision, for every protection in our work situation. Lord God, I pray for provision for a house, for those of you who are looking for a house or believing for a house. I pray that God is your provider, and he will make it that he sees it through, that you will get that perfect house. He is your provider, and to trust in him. Lord, I pray for salvation and family and for children that have gone away from the Lord, Father, who have backslidden. I call them out in Jesus' name. We thank you that they belong to you. They do not belong to the world, but they belong to the house of God. Thank you, Jesus. And for those of you who have prayer needs, and I'm sure you have kind of like, you know, put your hand up in there and then just sealed that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's so good. It's so good to pray. It's so good to pray. And I encourage you, when you have time, to just pray, because you know what? God hears.
He does.
He hears and he listens, and he hears the very cry of your heart. I'm echoing up here, if you can just make sure to just help me. Oh, okay. Does that? Oh, by the way, can I just say happy birthday to my husband? He's even like dressing me this morning. Daryl. Happy birthday. He's 35 today. And we have arranged a cake for all of you to celebrate with us. So that will be straight after the service. Amen. Well, I want to welcome the online family this morning. If you are here, if you are online, make sure that, you know, you comment and engage with us, because it's so good to be able to see you. We can't see physically your face, but we'll be able to hear what you actually type. So let's comment there. And for everyone in this house, thank you for coming. I am sure that God's going to meet you where you're at today, and you will be thoroughly blessed. Well, yesterday we had a massive morning with our women, and we had our women's brunch. And if you missed it, you make sure you come to the next one. And we've put a calendar of events and things like that at the Ask Me Desk, and you can avail yourself with that, because then you can diarize those times and you'll never miss a moment. Because it's going to be fun, it's going to be engaging, and it's going to be a blessing for everyone on that time. So yesterday I shared a scripture that's not my scripture for this morning, but it will lead to that. And it says in John 4:35, it says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. Yeah. The fields are already ripe for harvest. And it goes on to say in Matthew 9, verse 37, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Yes. And so, you know, I believe that this year will be a year of harvest. Yeah. I believe this year will be a year of favor and blessing. I believe this year will be a year of breakthrough. I believe this year will be a year of suddenlies. I believe this year will be a year of greater things to come. Lord, I believe and I declare that this year will be a year where things will turn around. There'll be new wine and new wineskins. And there'll be things that you have prayed for a long time, that it will come to fruition this day. I will speak that by faith, but you have to activate that with your faith this morning. And so, you know what? Before all this can happen, though, there is a caveat that I want to share with you. And it says here that, you know, wake up and look around. This suggests to me you need to stop sleeping. Sleeping, full stop. Gotta stop napping. I didn't say like don't sleep, like think we need sleep, but stop napping and look around. Be aware of your surroundings, open your eyes and do some work. Yeah. When it comes to harvest, it doesn't just happen by itself, right? We got to work. Yeah. And I have given you a spoon this morning. Everyone got a spoon?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone got a spoon? This is not for a cake, but maybe you can use that for cake. Yeah? For Pastor Darrell's cake. But I am going to pray that this spoon will turn into a shovel. Yes, it's big faith. Because I believe that we need to be transformed so that you can redig some wells that God wants you to open up in your heart, in your family, in your school, and wherever you're at. This is my shovel today. As you can see, I've got a bit of props here. And this is the shovel that we're going to use this morning. But I'm praying in Jesus' name that this will turn into a shovel for you. Now I want to talk to you a few moments today about digging. We're going to dig some dirt today. I want to read to you a scripture which is my main text for today. And I'm going to summarize this because it's such a long passage. It's in Genesis 1, 26 to 22. And I'm going to summarize it for you. Now, a severe famine has struck the land. Okay? This is not an ordinary famine. It says severe. You've got to look at the words. It says severe famine. It's more than just a recession. It's a severe famine. The Lord then appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. Why? Why is God saying that to Isaac? Because his father Abraham has listened to God and listened to every detail of the commandments and instructions, and he obeyed him. He obeyed all the decrees. And so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Can I just say that there is always a blessing when you obey? Yeah. And some of you here right now, you are sitting under the blessing of because of what your mother and father and grandparents has done for you. And so I say to you that there's always blessing when it comes to obedience. Now Abimelech, the king at that time, you know, said that So Isaac, right? Remember, there is a famine. Okay, but Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. This is the promise of God. When you stay in obedience where God has asked you to stay, even when you want to go, there's always a blessing in that place. And some of you right now, you are in this place because you're going to be sitting on a blessing. So don't give up. Don't go moving out right now, because God is going to bless you where you're at. So you know, Isaac began to prosper, and he continued to be rich. He continued to, you know, to prosper. But then the Philistines is like, in that day, it's like a thorn in your side. Like, he's like a monster, like a Goliath of that time. So these Philistines became jealous of Isaac. So then the Philistines filled up all Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham. Now, the dirt means it's like debris, you know, all kinds of garbage. And then what happens is, fast forward, is the king at the time, which is Abimelech, says, go away from us because you're too powerful. So then the king told Isaac to go away, and then, you know, he just moved. He left and he moved, and then he camped out in the valley of Gerar. And that's where he settled. Verse 18 is going to be on the screen. Then it says, he reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. And then verse 19 says, Isaac's servants also dug in the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water.
Fresh water.
You know, can I just say, there is nothing like fresh water. There is nothing like a cold, fresh water with no sediments, but it's filtered, clean, and pure. So the title of my sermon this morning is Dig Again. Dig Again. Turn to the person next to you and say, dig again. Before I continue with my sermon this morning, I want to lay aside this this message, is I want to say two things. Wells and digging. What are wells? A well is more than water. A well was both, at that time, symbolically and often literally located at the center of the community. From the well, the community drew water, the basic source of life, the sustenance of life. A well is a place where people gather to be refreshed, to be restored, and to be revived. A well is a place where it matters. People gathered there to get life. It's a source. So in those days, wells are very important. Now, when we think about digging, right? I don't know if you've ever dug somewhere, or like, you know, soil and everything, but it's hard work. You know, when we talk about digging, like, this is hard work. Like, it's nothing glamorous. You don't go to, you know, to your garden with high heel shoes and all of this stuff. But this is hard work. It's messy. You get dirt under your nails. You get, like, I don't know, it's sweaty, it's stinky, it's messy. It's just like, you're going to, like, sweat. And so, you know, it's not glamorous by any means. It's not convenient. It's not pretty. It's dirt, and you know, it's dusty, it's hot, and it's hard to dig what the enemy has clogged up. You know, back then, they didn't have drills and you know, the Dewalt, whatever thing, drill thing, whatever it is. I'm trying to be Bunnings girl, but it's not working. Whatever. Anyway, drills. And they don't have those drills as what we have today to have easily access. It's actually emotionally exhausting digging soil and digging dirt. And, you know, if we put this digging in our modern day scenario, right? It's like when you're in a relationship or a marriage, right? And it's all like strawberries and cream the first 2 years. Is it peaches and cream? Whatever. For me, it's strawberries. Strawberries and cream and 1, 2, 3, you know, but when it comes to 2, 3, 15, 16, 18, 20, 40, 50, 60, it's like, hello, do I still know you? Like, but this is where you kind of like gotta get your shovel, pick up your shovel, right, and dig again. Because there's nothing worse than just like allowing yourself to be put in a position where you're just stagnant, where you're just stagnant. So, you know, what about parenting, right? Some of us have all had kids. I've had kids. My youngest one's going to turn 13 in a couple of weeks. So it's not a baby anymore. When she was little, she was such a sweet little baby. Where are you, Gabby? But then, like, you know, she becomes a teenager and they back chat. They do all sorts of things. You know, what turns into a sweet little baby that you had, you know, wanting and prayed for has become like a... Exhausting. Raising teenagers is exhausting because you gotta like fight for the culture that they live in, and you gotta understand what's going on in them. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road. So what you do, you gotta pick up your shovel and dig again. And I'm just saying to you, what about your dream job? You know, it suddenly become a nightmare because your boss just throws like, you know, so much work to you and everything like that, and it becomes like, God, do I really want this job? I'm not saying you. I'm just saying people, right? You know, you gotta dig again. You can't just like walk off because you got bills to pay, right? You gotta dig again. You gotta pick up that shovel and dig again. Oh my goodness. So we live in a society when things get hard and we just throw things away. Or buy a new one. And, you know, we lack patience. We lack commitment to do the work. And I'm hearing God say to each and every one of us to say, you want that harvest? You want that harvest? Well, you got to do the work. You got to pick up a shovel and dig again. The context of my message this morning is in 18 to 22, where I want to preach from. So the Philistines clogged up the wells with dirt and debris. And Isaac... Take this, Isaac had every reason to fight back, but he didn't. He moved on and dug another well. So we see Isaac's servants digging. There were arguments over that when you dig a well, and he named it Esek, which is called arguments. Then, you know, they moved on because they were arguing. He just didn't do anything. Okay, whatever, let's just move on. Then they were digging another well, and then there was a dispute in that, and then he named it Sitna, which means hostility. You know, there's a lesson for each and every one of us for Isaac that we need to take from. He didn't retaliate, he just moved on. He just moved on. Sometimes, you know, in life, you just gotta pick your battles, because the battle doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. He just dug another well.
Yep.
He just dug another well. Verse 22, I want you to capture this one. It's on the screen. Verse 22, abandoning that one, Isaac moved and dug another well. Yep. This time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space. For he said, at last the Lord created enough space for us to prosper in this land. You know, can I just tell you, church, whenever you are moving and taking new ground in your territory, whenever you have decided that, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus and there's no turning back, when you have decided that you're going to like honor the Lord with your wealth and no turning back, when you decided to repent and turn away, when you have decided to do the right thing, there will always be opposition.
Yeah.
There will always be dramas. There will always be a battle that you need to face. You know, there will be hostility. There will be frustration. There will be anxiety. There will be discouragement. But can I just say that I want you to pick up that shovel despite the discouragement, despite the disillusion, and I want you to dig again. Just keep on digging while you find, because what you will find as you dig is that you will find fresh water.
Yes.
You will be refreshed. And refreshing will come. Harvest will come. Breakthrough will come. You know, Isaac just dug again and discovered this well of fresh water. So this morning, church, you know, I want to say that there are some wells inside this church that has been clogged up, but we're going to reopen them. We're going to open them, not just reopen them, but we are going to rename them, because they are the foundation of why we're here today. You know, we're going to rename them. We're going to this. And for you guys, like, there is some wells inside of you that used to flourish, but now it's like the enemy has come and clogged up your wells. The enemy has come and put dirt over your life until it's fully packed to the brim. And today I declare to you that it's time to reopen that well. It's time to dig again. Don't just sit there and say, oh, well.
Oh, well.
Don't give me excuses. Every excuse is under the sun. You gotta pick up that shovel and dig again. Not just dig one or two, but dig three, four, five, whatever, until you find fresh water.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is that we're used to drinking from muddy water. This is a time, can I say, that all believers need to wake up and look around and redig the wells. Because if we don't clean the wells, if we don't dig them out, then our children will be drinking muddy water.
Yeah.
Keep the water fresh, because it's a well of life. Any place we refuse to dig, we surrender to the enemy. Last week we had an anointing service and each one got a refreshing touch. And I really pray that refreshing will continue for the rest of this year, not just a Sunday, but I'm praying as you dig those wells, refreshing will come for you. So today I want to give you five modern wells to keep us fresh that serves as a foundation. Number one, I want us to dig the well of worship.
Yeah, come on.
We cannot lose the well of worship, because this is why we have a 9 a.m. service. Can I have a drink, please, Daryl? This is why we have a 9 a.m. service. This is why, excuse me. I need fresh water. This is why we have a 9 a.m. service. Can I encourage you, please don't come at 9:05.
That's right.
Please don't come at 9:15.
That's right.
But be on time, because you know what? You are digging a well.
Yeah.
You are digging a well. And you know what? The creative team, when they come up here, they just don't decide to look pretty and sing some songs, but they are creating an atmosphere of invitation for us to encounter Jesus. They're just not out there because it's a waste of time. And some of you I see and I'm not looking around. You know, you just stand and think, oh, come on, it's 25 minutes now. Let's get this going, because I got things to do. And some of you are just standing there, come on, and say, well, this doesn't impress me much. It's not about impressing people. We're not to impress people. We gotta dig the well of worship. We gotta, you know, worship is your weapon. You can worship your way out of worry. And you know, this is what the enemy tries to do, is to clog up the well of worship with worry. Worship is your greatest weapon, and you can worship your way out of it. The thing is, you can't worship and keep worry in your mind at the same time. When you worship, you are just saying, God, I just surrender. God, I can't do this anymore. It's when a time where you will kneel down and say, God, I just can't. Please take it. And I just don't know what to do anymore. And that is when the breakthrough will come. Isaiah says in 61:3, it says, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Yeah. I don't know, like Mia's touched on this this morning. I don't know what is surrounding you right now. I don't know the spirit of heaviness that may be upon you right now, but I'm asking you to dig again the well of worship, because in that you will find refreshing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, the second well that I want you to dig is a well of God's word. Matthew 4:4 says this, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Teach the word of God to your children. Teach the word of God to your, you know, to your neighbors, to whoever, okay? Teach the word in its entirety. Don't leave things out. You know, we live in a generation where the word of God has been, what's that called? Put away. Like, you know, where God's word is no longer important, where the word of God has been clogged up with ideologies and different theologies, where people's truth,
that's right.
You know, it's been laced with our own perspectives, where the word of God has been shut out in schools. You know, in schools, you can't even teach religion now. You can name all the religion and tell them when it was established, but that's all you can do. They're trying to abolish that religion and, you know, and Jesus at school. And I want you to remind you today that God's word is a weapon. God's word changes us. God's word changes me. In Hebrews 4:12, it says this, "Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul and spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 says this, "All scriptures," say all.
All
scriptures is God breathed and is useful to teach us what is true and what makes us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The third well that I want you to dig is the well of generosity.
Yeah.
You know, as I think about this, and I thought, God, what is generosity like? Generosity is not a one-time event. Generosity is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And generosity is just not about monetary things. It's about your time and your talents.
Yeah.
You know, some of us are just trying to survive.
Yeah.
With the cost of living up, with interest rates hiking up, and there'll be furthermore. But you know what? In Psalm 37:25 says this, "I was young and now I'm old.
Yeah.
Yet I have never seen the righteous one forsaken, nor his children begging for bread." You know, the enemy tries to shut down the well of generosity by telling us, you can't afford to be generous. You can't afford to tithe and honor the Lord this week because, you know, you won't have enough. But like as Brad mentioned this morning, you can never outdo God.
Right.
You can never outgive God. He will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. 1 Timothy 6:18 says this, "In generosity, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." Generosity is about sharing with people. The essence of generosity is actually sacrifice. The problem in this generation is that we have like, it's too hard. We don't like sacrifice because it costs. When God blesses you, it's not just for yourself. It's for others. When God blesses you, it's to share. And in order for you to be a blessing, you need to have more than what you need. And some of us have more than what we need. God blesses us so much. He gives us riches. A lot of the time we do. Another well that we need to dig again is the well of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I don't know about you, but there are days where life is hard. You know, there are just things in our life where we have been praying for and believing for, and it doesn't seem to feel like it's ever gonna come to fruition. But can I encourage you that God is a faithful God? That God will see to it that what he has promised you, not to the person next door, what he has promised you will come to pass. You just gotta stick at it. You gotta pick up that shovel and dig again. You gotta dig again. When life is spinning out of control, we need to learn to open up the well of faith and dig again. Now the Bible said in Genesis, in verse 1, it says that there was a severe famine that struck the land. I wonder today, what is the famine in your life and in your heart? Metaphorically speaking, the enemy uses the well of faith for doubts and unbelief. I want you to dig out that well of unbelief today. I want you to dig out that well of doubt today. God is going to give you what he has said that he will give you. Yes. He is a faithful God. Some of you here today have buried your faith, your dreams, and what you are hoping for. You just let it die because you think this is too long. I've been praying for this for how many years, and nothing. Do not look at the time, because God's going to move swiftly and suddenly, and before you know it, he will be faithful. You know, you put your dreams and your hopes and you've let it die and you put in a tomb and shut it. But can I just tell you that God still moves stones today? He moves stones. He rolled away that stone. And I want you to cooperate with him by getting a shovel, picking it up, and digging it. Do you dig it today?
Dig it.
Dig it.
Yeah.
You're digging it? My kid said, "Mom, don't use that. That's too cringy." But dig again.
Dig
again. It's time to work, to walk by faith and not by sight. There will be days where you feel like you cannot stand anymore and you cannot fight anymore. That's when you need to dig the well of connection. And that is my fifth point today. We need to dig the well of connection. 1 Corinthians 6:11-13, it says this, Dear Corinthians, I can tell you how much I have longed for you to enter this wide open spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. You know, the enemy tries to clog up the well of connection by isolating you and fencing you in. Can I encourage you to dig the well of connection? Not just in this church, but outside of this church. There are some people in your world that you need to dig deeper than what you're digging right now, because they need that well of connection, that water that flows from within you.
Yes.
They need that. You know, COVID has changed a lot of things, and I'm not trying to, you know, elevate COVID, but it has. But COVID is an event. It's just one of the things that have happened in our world. But you need to realize, you need to put away that COVID, and you need to start connecting.
Yeah.
You need to start opening up your homes. You need to start opening your heart. You need to start opening up your hands.
Yeah.
People have gotten used to just shutting their doors, shutting their homes, shutting their eyes to the needs. But you can turn that event into an encouragement, embrace, and extend your hand to our community. And when you open up that well of connection, This is how we build community. You know, one of the mission and vision of our church is to build community. When you build community, this is what it says. You are helping others to dig. You know, sometimes people are tired. Sometimes people are just weary. And you know what? They just want you to help come alongside them and say, look, you know what? I know you're tired. I know you're weary. Let me stand beside you. This is about well of connection, right? Let me stand beside you and I'm going to help you dig a well. I'm going to help you pray for your marriage. I'm going to help you pray for your children that's away from the Lord. I'm going to help you pray for your job that's giving you grief right now. I'm going to dig that well of, you know, generosity for you. I'm going to help you dig that well of faith. We need to be diggers, not gold diggers, but diggers of faith. Diggers, we need to dig the well of worship. We need to dig the well of the God's word. We need to dig the well of faith. We need to dig the well of generosity. We need to dig the well of connection. This is why we have connect groups. And if you're not in a connect group, you are not building community. You are just shutting yourself in. And I understand there are, you know, exceptions to the rule. You can build community in other ways. But that's why we tell you, build, dig, dig the well of connection. Now, as my last point, and this was a revelation for me, and I want you to get it. When we're talking about digging the well of connection, there's a story in John 4 where there is the Samaritan woman, and where was it? The woman at the
well.
Woman at the well. And I'm going to give you a brief summarization about this. So Jesus is very tired. He was walking along and he was very tired. So he sat down by the well. And this time it was midday, right? The Bible says that this woman came in the heat of the day and at noon and she drew water. I don't know about you, but have you tried walking at noon? I'm sure that it's going to be so hot. And yeah, apparently today is going to be 39 degrees. And so most of the time we either walk in the morning or at night. So when this woman appeared at the well where Jesus was and to drew water in the heat of the day, she came by herself. Which really suggests to me that this woman had quite a reputation. And then Jesus asked them for a drink. So they had this conversation going along and said, but sir, you don't have a rope and you don't have a bucket. And this well is very deep. You're a Jew and I am a Samaritan. Can I just take note here? Jesus was a Jew. This woman is Samaritan. There's a huge racial divide.
Yeah.
What are you doing asking me for a drink, this woman said. And interestingly enough, Jesus crossed racial barriers. The sin of racism, Jesus crossed at the well. So they started talking and Jesus said to her, hey, if you only knew what the gift of God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would be asking him for a drink and I would give you living water. And he uses this illustration, right? Anyone who drink this water from the well, you'll be thirsty again. But if you drink the water I give you, you will never thirst again. So she says, well, can I have a drink then? And then she said, okay, well, go get your husband. I don't have a husband. Yes, you are right, Jesus said. You have had 5 husbands and the one you're shacking up with now is actually not your husband. And so goes, well, Samaritan woman says, okay, I can see that you know a lot of things and you're a prophet. So she goes back to the village and she tells all the people in the village and the whole village came to Jesus. And it all started at the well. Now, this really opened my eyes, and I want you to listen to this. This is the conversation that transpired in verse 10 to 12. It says, if you only knew the gift of God has for you, and you are speaking to who you're speaking to, you would have asked him for a drink, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Why is the well very deep? Can I surmise to you that someone dug it? Where would you get this living water? Now listen, this is what she said, verse 12. Are you greater than our father Jacob?
Yeah.
So, listen to the first bit I said to you. Are you greater than our father Jacob? So we have Abraham, the dad. We have Isaac, the son. And we have Jacob. Can you see the pattern here? So Abraham dug a well and he taught Isaac to dig. Then Isaac came along and he taught Jacob to dig a well. This thing is a generational thing. And I want you right now, today, there'll be some in your family, you are digging wells. You are digging wells, not just for yourself, but you are digging wells for the generation to come. You'll be digging wells for your children's children and their children's children. And this is a generational blessing. When you start to dig a well, when you start to become obedient, when you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and you start digging, you start being consistent, that's when you will see a breakthrough. No matter what happens, you got to stay put. You got to not move. The battle belongs to the Lord, not you. So digging is a generational thing. This is why we ask you this morning to build community. This is why we have to dig again the walls of connection. This is why that no matter how tired you are, how weary you are, how exhausted you are, I want you to open up your lives and live expansively. We are not just digging for us. Galatians 6:9 says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. As we close, I want to ask you a question this morning. How is your well? Is it clogged up? Is it clogged up by dirt? Is it clogged up with anxiety? Is it clogged up with worry? Is it clogged up with depression? Is it clogged up with a lot of things? Because that's our modern world today. That's our modern well. And I'm encouraging you, each and every one here today, can we all stand, please? To get a shovel and dig again. To get a shovel and dig again. I wonder today whether people can come to your well for wisdom. Can people come to your well for refreshing? Can people come to your well for restoration? You know, God is telling us today that you need to open up your wells. You need to do the hard work of picking up a shovel and dig again. This morning I want to open up the well of salvation. If you are, you know, I've talked about wells and I've talked about digging, but I wonder if each and every one of you is right with God, because that's a well of salvation. The very thing that Jesus died for is for you to be set free. It says in John 7:38, says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. Get that? Anyone.
Yes.
Anyone, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what has happened, it says anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. I want us this morning to have a fresh commitment to dig. If you want a fresh commitment to dig again, I want you to come right at the front this morning. I'm going to open up the altar for you to come and just meet with God. I'm going to open up this altar for you to have an encounter with Jesus. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to come right at the front and say, God, I need this fresh water. Yeah. I need this living water you talk about, because Lord, I don't want to drink from the well of the world, but I want to drink from the well that you provide. I want to drink from the well of your word, the living word, God. And I just thank you that, God, that you are here inviting people today to come and drink. To come and drink from the well that never runs dry, that never runs, that you can never be thirsty again. So right now, while I'm speaking, if you want to have a fresh commitment to dig, a fresh commitment to read your Bible, a fresh commitment to do devotion, a fresh commitment in your generosity, a fresh commitment in obedience, I want you to come right here. And I know there's other things that you can commit to, but I'm just encouraging you, if you want that today, you know, there's going to be some battles. There's going to be some opposition. When you take that stand and say, God, I'm going to turn away and repent and do whatever I need to do to come, and you're going to start digging, there'll be oppositions, there'll be arguments, there'll be anxiety, there'll be everything that you can think of. But you know what? Can I just say that the battle belongs to the Lord? Yeah. You don't have to fight the battle for yourself.
Come on.
He will fight for you. All you got to do is stand. He will fight for you. So as we're doing that, as people are going to come, I want us to sing this warfare song, you know, what is it? Oh, we're going to see a victory. We're going to see a victory. When you fight, when you have a battle to face, we're going to see a victory. And we declare that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we just pray for this, for everyone here right now. Thank you, Father God, that the victory is ours. Father God, we don't fight from the position of victory. We fight in victory, Father God. And we thank you. We thank you that the battle belongs to you. We thank you for the people that are coming. Lord God, they have some fresh commitment to decide this year. Lord God, we thank you that the battle belongs to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see. For the battle belongs.
Father, that's our declaration today. We're going to see a victory. We're going to dig and reopen wells that have been plugged up, wells that have been clogged up, wells that are full of all sorts of things they shouldn't be full of today. And I pray, Lord, as we do the work, as we do the digging, as we do the clearing, Lord, of the wells of our heart in all these areas, Father, that there will be victory for every one of us and us corporately in Jesus' name. We thank you for that today in your name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give Pastor Marichelle a big hand for a great word today? That's a really good word. That was a really good word. I really dug that. It was good. That's a great word. Next Sunday, everyone say next Sunday. Next Sunday is Vision Sunday. Next Sunday, Vision Sunday, 9 a.m., not a Sunday to be missed. Tell your friends, bring your family, be here with us next Sunday. Make sure you join us. Take care in the heat today. To our online family, we love you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Hospitality's open now. I want to invite you to stay behind, have some coffee, food with some friends today. God bless you. Thank you for being with us.